Call a meeting of Charlestown Planning and Zoning Commission for October 5th, 2023 to order. First order, approval of the minutes.
Abstain.
Well, we still have to read them approved, so.
Oh, good. There's still a quorum.
Yeah. We have a quorum for the approving minutes. We have. We almost have a quorum. Everybody good with the minutes?
Right on.
Do I hear a motion?
Motion.
Motion to approve.
Okay. Thank you, Renee, for the second.
No, I'm sorry.
Oh, you can't. Okay.
I'm sorry. Who were the?
I second.
Tom motions.
Okay.
Robin second.
All right. We have no old business. We have new business, however. Mr. Light.
Yes, we do. So the rooftop solar plus the beam replacement, treating it as if it were an interior renovation, and the tree removal after it have all been approved, as well as the last one, 23-124, basement drain tile, interior renovation.
And let me just speak to 118 for a second. Just a reminder to everybody that a few months ago, in order for the town to get the sod grant, one of the things that they required was that planning and zoning were going to remove all the projects.
Facade grant. So we made a blanket statement at the time that if you got the facade grant, planning and zoning is fine. And even though this is just painting, it's the first of a couple of facade grants that'll come along. Okay.
Right.
Gives us 119.
Yep. 119 is a patio at 110 Steamboat. Patios on the rear.
This, I'm not looking at it yet. Is this pavers? Or is this a deck?
What are these? Is this all pavers?
So that's sidewalk. Yeah, what are they saying?
So it's going in now.
The deck's existing. It's going in new. I think it's poured concrete. It's pavers. No, it's paver. I'm sorry.
Everything's pavers.
Yep. Okay. Paver patio. So I told him it's, you know, a minor permit. Doesn't need a county permit. But we track it for lot coverage.
It looks like they should be good.
Is the deck elevated? Because it's saying it's under it. So is it like up on the second floor or something? Okay.
Yeah, I know that the decks, as long as they have that quarter inch separation, don't qualify as
lot coverage.
Yeah. How about pavers if you had those, you know, those little plastic guides for putting in tile and kept it? The same theory?
I don't think so.
I know pavers get slammed up against each other, but.
Because, yeah, you usually have gravel underneath of them. I guess sometimes you can put sand, but you usually have a gravel base, and gravel is usually considered not covered, especially once it gets tanned and compacted. Mm.
As long as mosquito spray.
Mm-hmm.
As long as mosquito spray.
The night's it.
Yeah.
Last night.
Cold temperatures, or they just do by calendar?
Well, kind of both. Usually by this time, it's, you know, cooling off. Not real hot at night. They don't regenerate.
What area are you doing today?
Pardon?
What area?
Tonight. Got some stuff up in Rising Sun, some stuff down 213 in Charlestown.
All right, you got a motion for 119?
I make a motion to approve.
All right, second?
I'll second.
Robin seconds, okay. 120, Mr. Lightner.
Right, 120 and 121 are, they're going to be requesting a variance to the front yard. They're at the corner lot, and maybe I'll just send around the one that shows it's a separate permit because there's a pool permit and a shed permit. I'm going to send around 121. Only because that plot plan has everything drawn on.
What is the variance for?
So, because it's a corner lot at the intersection of Steamboat and Colorado, it has two 30-foot fronts. And I got it up on the screen here. This, they had a fence permit, so it's a 6-foot-tall fence. They've kind of used this space as their side yard, even though it's a front. And this space is nice and flat. They just built the deck and patio not that long ago off the side. This is a hill, pretty steep hill, and this is their forest conservation easement. So the request is to reduce that 30-foot front yard setback along Colorado to 3 feet. They want to put their shed, you know, like right here, 3 feet off of that front property line. Because the pool, in relation to the patio, would go somewhere over here. And you can see on that plot plan, they kind of draw like a little sidewalk from the shed to the pool.
Well, neither are built currently, right? Is the pool within the 30 feet as well?
Yeah.
All right.
But I assumed it'd just be one variance request.
Both.
Whichever was furthest.
I guess for discussion, one, if they had asked for 3 feet instead of 27 feet for variance, we couldn't give it. All right. So, but they asked for 27 feet of variance on 30 feet. Their only option is Board of Appeals. And I don't know, other than explaining where this is, that's really the hub of the matter. We can't grant them that variance.
Correct.
So,
but I do think there's value in this board looking at the situation and given some kind of recommendation. The board doesn't have to.
Well, I don't know where, I don't know if you can scroll down, but their neighbor would have to look at across the street. They'd be looking at that 6-foot fence and pool. No, it's their driveway. They may not be as. You know what I mean? If it was the front of their house looking at that fence, it'd be one thing. It's their garage. And I take it he wants to stop that fence 30 feet from the other street. So there's not a vision problem.
Mm-hmm.
we can offer to Board of Appeals, our own comments on it. Like, we don't think this is much, or we can be silent about it, I would assume.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just react that it's 27 of 30 feet. It's 90% reduction of setback.
And I talked to the property owner. I told him usually a variance request should be the minimum relief necessary, and to really, plan the yard and measure it out and see what would work. And this is what they came back with. There's also a section in Chapter 175 about variances, different criteria that you should address as part of a request for a variance, like what's unique about this lot.
Hmm.
If you didn't
you
get
mentioned
it,
what they had, they have a hillside
and
built on flat ground. Yeah. Any further discussion on it?
We just have to not approve it.
Okay. We don't have to formally take a vote. We can just tell them to go get a variance, right?
Mm-hmm. And you can give a recommendation or not.
I don't have one to give. Does anyone else have?
No, I do not. I see why they would need it because of the forest retention and the hill.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much the only place it can go.
I think all we can say, Brian, is that we refer them to Board of Appeals.
And the only drawback is that they're on a corner lot.
Yeah. Okay, 122.
All right, so the property at 127 Conestoga Street was purchased. There's a new homeowner. They're excited to do some improvements. This is painting the exterior of the home as well as redecking the deck that's on the water side of the house.
Anything from us to do that? Repaint their house or they're not in the start zone, right? So,
yeah.
Or they are. Oh, okay. We're ready.
And deck replacement, it's just they're doing what's there, they're just replacing what's there, right?
They're not going to extend out over the water.
Same. Yeah, you can pull it up on the map. Yes. So it's the same footers, same posts into the ground, same stringers. It's just redecking. The Historic District Commission, Mary, they wanted to see details about the railing, right? They had submitted information, about the materials and the colors and whatnot, but they left off information about the railing.
So we're just, this is a conditional before we get the historic group.
Oh, did you get?
They're not using anything.
That same gray color that everything else is getting painted, I guess. Oh, well, I guess we'll have to clarify that because the application, I think it says like there's a composite color gray in there.
That's the decking board.
Well, but they said on there, I think, like they were going to do like sidewalks and patios, paint that color too.
No, it just says paint exterior with white and black accents. Redeck back deck with composite boards and stain all other decking steps and support.
I guess staining the steps. So could they use the same stain for the steps for the railing?
And support. So they're just doing
the steps and I just
it doesn't say steps. Or it does say steps in it.
Yeah.
Looks like it's going to be nice.
Yeah.
Well, we'll bruise it up.
I mean, no issues for planning and zoning standpoint.
Cool.
I motion to approve 23-122.
Conditional on?
Conditional on.
Okay. I'll second. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Right, last permit this evening. 445 Chesapeake Road. This was a fence built without a permit. And so what had to happen with this one, because it's a 6 foot tall privacy fence, 6 inches in from the property line. It's just along the side. It's a screen basically for a neighbor. There was a portion of it built within the front setback, and they had the option replace that panel to make it 3 feet, because that's what the height limit is now for fences in front, or remove it. And they've elected to remove it. So the plot plan reflects that. It was kind of funny because this corner property at Chesapeake and Ogle, the fence runs right along here.
The X on this is not happening?
Correct. Yeah. They originally considered taking that panel off and putting it in the corner, but then they said no. There was originally some thought that, see where that fence is drawn there, that blue line, that it may have been out of town limits, which is why they didn't need a town permit.
Hmm. Did it save them from a fine?
No.
Okay.
Huh?
Did they get it?
Yeah, it's the penalty fee. Yeah.
Put them in the penalty box.
Yeah.
Okay, is there a motion for it?
Motion.
Okay, thank you.
I'll second.
Thank you. And that concludes the permits. This is like a January, February meeting. The exception, they usually have a couple pool applications.
There was something that came up here in the past week or two. Is that what this definition is, what we talked about?
Yeah, and I can make copies if, I don't know if you guys got your codes in front of you. I can make copies.
It talks about untagged vehicles. And at one time it said one untagged vehicle can be in your yard on the lot, not on the street or whatever. And somehow that got taken out. And it came to my attention that if you have a child that is getting ready to turn 16 and the parents buy a car and they bring it to their house, they are non-compliant of ordinance.
Interesting.
I think you had 60 days for that.
But if they buy it now when they're 15,
oh,
because they found a deal for a car.
Yeah.
And you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's,
yeah, it would exceed, it could exceed 60 days.
Yeah.
That one stipulation that's in there. Yeah.
Okay. What was the other thing we talked about? I know that one was a big one.
Well, what if, in order for you to have
right now
more than zero untagged vehicles on your property, it's got to be a genuine antique or classic, which is actively being restored. It must be, that's one. Two is a vehicle pending settlement of insurance or similar claim. Three is that recent purchase pending inspection for a period not to exceed 60 days. And then four is a vehicle that's for sale for a period not to exceed 60 days. So it's pretty strict.
Yeah, it's there to protect the neighbors. Well, I can't imagine many people buy a car and don't intend to use it for a year or so. You know, I mean, the zoning code can't handle everything.
And, you know, there is that, you mentioned it, like you can't be on a street, an untagged vehicle, and there is no time limit. Not,
and I know that not on the street.
Yeah.
But if... And the way the car economy is, and you're looking to buy a vehicle for kids that are going to be and you find
we've
one.
We've been there with our sons.
They work
on their little cars.
They work on their little cars, yes. Are we going to penalize people because they're doing that?
What do you want to penalize, them or their neighbor? I mean, that's why you have zoning.
But it was in there. I don't know how it got taken out because I know we talked about it at that. And Brian's saying that that he just took what was in the county, and that's why I'm saying.
It could have been.
Is this an active situation? I mean, this is their problem, or they don't.
There are people that have contacted me on this situation.
Yeah, I mean, untagged vehicles in town. It's always an active situation. It doesn't go well. Yeah.
And they said, you know, am I going to be penalized because I buy my child a car and they're not turning 16?
Well, it also says upon complaint, right? Isn't that in the literature? I mean, we're not going around looking for this issue.
I think just like any other potential violation, it's upon discovery.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be driving down the road and saying, it doesn't have to be. I wouldn't say, you know, any zoning violation is really complaint driven. Anything that could be discovered.
I mean, you say, okay, one car, and then you want to say, I've got two kids. I'm the luckiest person in the world. I can buy cars today so cheap you can't imagine, just store them in my house.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. I mean, we just passed this thing, in April?
And it's a working document. I'm just bringing it up to this board that it's being talked about. And I know that we had talked about it at the time, about leaving the one in, so I don't know.
Well, a change, however minor, to the zoning code triggers a public meeting.
I know that.
And we're going to do it. And I think we ought to keep a list.
We do.
You know, and once a year, since David Dostrom is talking to me a lot, we've got to review our zoning code, believe it or not, and our zoning map once a year. And here's a template for doing it. It doesn't look that hard. If you had it done, it's not that hard, you know. But it's going to be, you know, half an hour at some meeting in May, in April or May of next year.
Well, it's a good idea. Yeah.
And I guess their only relief from this, Commissioner Capanna, is if they go to the commissioners.
And say, please let me have this car.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I don't know about that. I think the commissioners can waive a fine.
Well, can't the commissioners just issue an ordinance?
Well, yeah, true.
And they don't need
to. There could be an untagged vehicle ordinance created.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just discussed. Mm-hmm. I said, I will. So.
Any more discussion on
that? No, I'm just bringing it up.
Okay.
But I mean, if it's something in the next 6 months, we're going to be bringing up again.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. If it's an issue, we need to make a change.
I mean, it's already on the list.
It's on the list.
Of cleanup items, we'll call them, for this year to consider changing. I mean, you figure we're interpreting this ordinance, I don't want to say every day, but weekly. Right, stuff comes up, and that's why I have to write it down in a document that says, "Should we change this?"
So, you know, okay. If you remember in the review, it's like, how much detail do you put in?
Yeah,
you know, mm-hmm. I mean, we don't have discretion,
and you know, it's like and I'm saying that, but I also know we have people in this town who will take that to the and degree. So
yeah, it'll be used car lot. Well, hell, I mean, you can take a look around at people who have numerous cars and boats. They haven't brought an airplane in yet, but cars and boats, but they're all tagged. And you know, I remember our deliberations on this. It's like, well, how many can you have on your property? And everybody said, well, as long as they're tagged,
yeah,
you know. And again, it's like, who are you protecting? You're protecting the individual for their right to have the stuff on their property is one thing. Their neighbors, though, you know, are almost suicidal when they see six or eight cars and boats on property and they've got to look at it all day long. You know, so it's whose ox is getting gored.
I just said I would talk.
Yeah. And you did.
And
I thought a wonderful job.
I'm honestly thinking, you know, talk about like ongoing list of things to consider changing. I mean, I feel like we've had challenges right off the bat with this fence height being 3 feet in front yards. And all of a sudden, too, with like corner lots, that one corner lot that needs to request a variance for the shed, they've been living with a 6 foot tall fence. And so, you know, out there in town, we already have 6 foot tall fences in front yards. And then we adopted an ordinance that said, nope, now it's 3 feet. So it's, now it's a mix, right, from here on forward. It's like, what are we doing?
We didn't adopt in it. We may have it somewhere. But if you take the center of an intersection, okay, and you draw a circle, that is the locus of 150 feet. Nothing can be in there. Not shrubs, not fence, nothing. And that's got to do with an ordinance about an intersection. It's got nothing to do with our fence. So in a lot of ways, we could be as happy and as jovial as could be and say, you can run 6 feet all you want, unless it clashes with that 150 foot circle. Okay. And the word one, and that's what it is. And that's ironically why we chose the 3 feet. And it's the 3 feet makes sense when people need 4 foot for a pool.
Right.
Okay.
Right. That's
cool. I mean,
I have dogs.
Team their dogs and
right. I have right. dogs, and yeah. It needs to be 6 feet because
now,
I have dogs.
Questions about that pool, okay? Because mm-hmm. I don't want it to come back. Mm-hmm. Yes, they have a fence around everything. Mm-hmm. Do they have to have a fence around it on the inside?
So they don't, because I looked into this with the county from a building code perspective. So long as it's locked, it doesn't have to be like right around the perimeter of the pool.
That's what I. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how that worked, and I don't have a pool, so I don't know.
And even in lieu of a fence, there's the option of putting in a barrier, just having a cover, like a real strong cover that you can't fall through.
When do they find out all the rules about the pool? When they go to the county after they get us? Okay.
Yeah, because it's in the building codes.
So I guess what happens is, because we have a lot of discussion, make sure they add the fence, et cetera, but we really don't have to do that here. We know that.
Right.
That's the county law.
Yeah.
No, I think fence height is a legitimate concern. I didn't put a fence up, but I stuck six bushes that you couldn't see through right on the corner of my property. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I remember trying to get these people here, Mahan's Apartments,
uh-huh.
okay, to cut that hedge down because you couldn't see. It's trimmed down to, I don't know what it is, maybe three feet. And I mean, there's a reason for it. And I think our operating philosophy here is we're here for the town's benefit and for the common good. And, you know, we do have to take the individual case into consideration, but that's our function is for, to operate a planning and zoning commission for a town that has adopted a zoning ordinance. And, you know, for the general safety of the public. And that is, if you're the applicant, you could care less, okay? I mean, you're worried about your slice of heaven. And then I get that. You know, I'd be the same way. I'm like, I get it. But that's not our job.
Right. Yeah, like I said, I'm just bringing it up, and it's something to think about, mm-hmm. but I also see the other side because mm-hmm. I've lived next to people that do it to the nth degree, so I get it. But it's something.
And I think on that lady with the wants the pool and what have you, I mean, it makes total sense to me. You're not going to get it approved. Okay, but it makes total sense to me. But that's why something like Board of Appeals exists.
Huh?
Right. But boy, when you read their charge, you know, they'll grant you some minimal change. Minimal's not 90%.
Right. Yeah.
Anything else for the good of the order?
No, I think we're good. The Scott Gardens developer was a little bit confused about our process. And I said, I understand it could be a little confusing because, you know, you come to the planning commission a proposed subdivision. If they're asking for a variance, you bring it before the planning commission with the hopes that maybe you get a recommendation, right? I guess, could it be that they don't have to come to planning commission that first time? If they just know that they want to request a variance for minimum lot sizes, can they go straight to Board of Appeals?
Scott Gardens talked to the fire department.
They did.
And what did the fire department say? I know I missed the meeting.
We talked about it. They want the biggest road imaginable, as wide as possible. 36 feet wide, edge of pavement. Our road right-of-way width is 56 feet. And all we have in the subdivision ordinance is a minimum standard 20-foot width for edge of pavement. We don't have any kind of maximum. But we have to think about maintenance, stormwater management, right? The wider the roads, the more stormwater treatment ultimately. Like, we knew with this development, there was going to be competing interests. You know, how do you limit forest clearing? How do you limit the amount of stormwater management facilities? How do you provide wide roads for the fire company?
And I know for the wedding venue in Conestoga, they went straight to Board of Appeals.
I think they can.
So I have to. Yeah, all you get out of us is if, you know, we write a nice letter in support. But,
you know. So what are they, were they at the last meeting or?
They were not.
No. Okay, so no, but they, what are the updates with it?
So that's what they want to request, is a variance to minimum lot size. And I just...
And what's the minimum, what do they want?
They went back to 17.5 from 20,000.
It's R1.
Yeah.
It's the least dense zoning.
Yeah.
Right? 20,000 square foot minimum.
I think if their subdivision hadn't lapsed, they would have come in under the old 17.5, but the new one said 20. The new code says 20,000 square feet. So, so they wanted relief from the 20,000 back to 17.50, and they wanted relief in the roadway
from down 56 to 50.
Yeah. So,
Say it again. They want from what?
56 to 50 feet in the roadway, and they wanted relief from the 20,000. Square foot lot size back to the 17.5 lot size that had been before the change in zone. But their subdivision had lapsed, so.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So, Renee, to your question, we don't know exactly what they're requesting now. I don't know if they want to bother with the road width, what the minimum lot size is, but I could advise them just to fill out an application to Board of Appeals. We already have to schedule them for this permit. Yeah. Maybe they could do both at the same time.
I think that the nitty gritty on this is what they want is 51 lots and what they could get is 37.
Yeah.
Okay. So that it's that 14.
Before they do the variance stuff, they need to come and talk to us. Again,
well, they did, and that's what I told them. But I was just thinking out loud now. I mean, do they really need to come back to us?
If they come, we're going to tell them no. The only benefit they would derive is we would tell them no, but we would write a letter of support to Board of Appeals.
I kind of get that feeling too. Honestly, like they had a chance after talking to the fire company and talking to us once to come back maybe with a revised plan that maybe made sense that they could get support from the board, but it doesn't sound.
I think the way we left it is if you want to come back here
with
20,000 square foot lot and the approval of the fire company for the roadway, we'll talk. But we weren't going to make the decision on the width of the roadway until they had talked to the fire department. And we weren't going to give them relief from the 17.5.
I remember asking them, Renee, does more lots
What was it originally before that thing lapsed?
It was 51. I think it's 51 to 37 is the issue here. When they came in, they had, if
how they big, had, what I'm saying is, did they, are they going to build the houses on the 20,000 yeah. square before?
Right.
Is that what they were going to do before? Mm-hmm. Now they want it to be on 17.5 lots, right?
No, that's they're what going I'm to build confused. On 17.5 because that was the zoning at the time.
I think they got a variance last time, 15 years ago. But I don't know if it was just a road width or lot size back then. I'd have to look it up.
I would like to know that.
Problem is we looked into it because we had talked about this 2 years ago and no one can find any records of that variance.
It's not in SureScan?
We couldn't find it. You want to look?
We shouldn't have that much in the Board of Appeals to look up.
Well, SureScan, whoever put the stuff in didn't name things.
Oh, okay.
It's in there, but it takes you like that stuff that I found a couple months ago. It took me all weekend to find everything. So,
the reason that may not matter so much is the stormwater regulations changed.
Yes.
The town attorney and town engineer already told the developer 2 years ago, you have to start from scratch.
Yes.
But I mean, I guess I hear what you're saying. In my mind,
if I want to see what they were approved for. I'm not saying I'm going to change my mind on anything. I want to know if they're changing the way they're doing things compared to what they had. And what are the lot sizes of Scott Garden Phase 1?
Phase 1 is 20,000 square feet, following the R1 standards, which is why it's...
So Phase 2, they want... not to be what phase one is.
Exactly. Yeah. Phase two, they want R2, like Cool Springs.
Yeah. Oh, I think maybe we have your answer. They got a variance from 20,000 square feet back then.
To make it like Cool Springs.
Yeah.
For phase two.
Just for phase two. Because look, I mean, you can see phase one here. Look how big these lots are.
Oh, I know, they're huge.
I mean, here's a smaller one.
The streets are huge over there too.
Look, it's just under 20,000 square feet, 19,998. Maybe that's a typo. But that looked to me like the smallest lot. Yep, 20,000 square feet. So phase one followed the R1 standards. And yeah, I think the developer kind of read the writing on the wall when it came to this board the first time. Why don't you just follow the R1 standards? Only thing I thought of was, well, maybe if you do less impervious surface, less stormwater facilities, and less forest clearing, you might have a reason to support the request to have 50 lots instead of 30.
Is there forest retention in that area too?
There would be. Remember, they showed on their plan. And that, I remember looking at that too. But here's the thing. The whole... reason, one of the reasons we're coming up with that green infrastructure network overlay district is forest conservation law in the state of Maryland is not very good. So they are able to clear what they needed to for these lots and retain in this section right here, open space, and a little bit on private property, so much that they didn't have to do any new tree planting, which kind of seems counterintuitive.
Okay.
And that's going to stay wooded.
Mm-hmm. And who will own the forest? Will that be turned over to the town or is that for the homeowners?
Last time, that's why I wrote it here. Land donation to the town, ? That yet has yet to be determined. This board might help negotiate that when it comes through.
So that it's not cut down, is what I'm trying to say.
It can stay HOA land, community open space, or it could be donated to the town, passive recreation trails.
I also want to let this board know, if you didn't listen, about our water capacity of our town. Basically, Chris and they did report. It was not thought about having generators, which we now have or are about to have that are on the way. They've been ordered. We've received one. The other ones haven't quite arrived yet. But what I learned about that is I'm thinking we pump up this much water, we should have the water capacity. But the water capacity is based on if power goes out. How much water do we have for all the infill lots? The potential developments and all that. At the current time, we have 59 hours of water without electricity, without generators, and a 2-hour fire event. Because we are now getting generators, that is now going up because we're getting generators on the wells, getting generators at the tower. So that's going to increase it. But I just want to put there. So
it's a significant upgrade.
Yes, significant. They are suggesting that we do, because we're getting close to capacity anyway, they are suggesting that we build another tower over in Cool Springs because we don't want to get to right where our max is.
Can you say that was the highest elevation?
That is the highest, where the land is. Can you pull that up? Where the land is over in Cool Springs is the highest elevation in town. And that way we can actually connect the two towers.
I always thought Carl's house was
the highest elevation.
This will be fun. Let's check.
He said it was the highest elevation.
I think it is. Yeah. I mean, it's like above sea level. Highest point on that lot, this corner right here, 97 feet. Let's go see. Because, yeah, the other high point was behind Carl's and the Gordon's house on Caroline.
Yeah, I thought that was the highest.
I guess not. Maybe in the historic district, that's the highest.
Things that we're looking at, we're looking to get grants and things like that.
Definitely.
It was water tower, $1 million.
We just actually got it a little more than that.
It's
how much?
It's 4. They quoted it as 4.
Yeah. 4.
And to drill another well, site another well.
Because our third well.
Half a million.
Things were not quite done the way they should have been done. And the third well is actually sitting right next to the tower, which they were told, previous boards were told, don't do it there. And it was put there because of convenience. So it's a non-working well.
Yeah, it was never
very
good.
We just had the second one redone and reprimed and everything. So we are now pouring water for both of our wells. We are monitoring our water. So that artesian, when they're tapping, they don't take from us. And there's a lot of things working on this whole
thing. Why are they tapping?
They're going right outside the town limits, accessing, they're trying to dig wells for other things that they're doing.
There was a big mode thing a number of years ago. They wanted water systems interconnected. Okay, because one town lost its water, they could get it. But I don't think anybody ever realized how much artesian was grabbing up water supplies. So the deal we have with artesian, which is that there's a valve out by the school, we pay them, we want water.
We don't
they
have
repay
it.
It back in. Yeah. They repay it back.
But we never connected it.
Yeah. It's still not connected. No.
Okay. You control the water, controls the world. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yes, true.
What they did to Elkton was terrible. And what you just said was the deal that Elkton has. It was repay with water or money. And they said, yeah, we don't want your water. We want the money. And they charged some premium.
I operated a Class C water authority for business that I worked in. And the offers came in for that water all the time. And it was above a huge aquifer. It had currents in it. There was so much water in it.
Wow.
And, but no matter what they pay you, either 10 years or 15 years in the future, it doesn't matter. And they can play the long game. And then you're stuck buying your water from them from, you know, it's just not worth it.
So we now have, we hired a company to and we have monitors now that are watching. So the one well that they wanted to dig didn't work. There's another one out at Mountain Hill, which is still coming into our aquifer. So we are working with water, Maryland Water, to make sure
they don't drain us.
They don't drain us. And that's a lot that we're dealing with right now. We are, I don't know, we will
closely monitor.
We have monitors on our wells.
The depth of the wells. The depth of the wells, like in the casing themselves, and the pumping rates, is what can pick up fluctuations in the aquifer.
The other thing,
shared on.
The county has funded fully all the sewer back in Holloway Beach. 100%.
Fantastic.
100%. And they're working with the homeowners right now, and they are going to break ground September of 2024. What is exactly going to happen? And part of what the town wants to do is the residents down there have come to us. The road's going to be dug up. Can you put the water lines in too? All the things that we're looking at too. There's a lot of improvement in that area, and there's a lot of people that are now back there, and that whole area is like a whole, since I moved in there, that area is like.
Does it push the tipping point on needing another tower? I mean,
it does.
It's all part of the whole project. What's
interesting, and I never thought about this until we had this discussion at the meeting, the town could annex Holloway Beach, taking away capacity from infill development. It's first come, first serve, really. There's no guarantee that you're going to have water in town limits, right?
But the capacity, we need to have the capacity redone because of the generators, which I thought Chris said he was going to do, because his analogy was we didn't have generators. So that's the other part of it, too.
We'll have to talk about that. I don't.
You know, we have a draw allowance, as I remember.
We're
only allowed so much.
We're not what we
anywhere
what
near
we
that.
Draw and okay. What we use is not.
What the state says is like what you should use. It's kind of like the worst case scenario. We got two good wells right now. Well, how much can you supply with your tank and one well if you only have one well?
Yep.
And it doesn't matter if it's got a backup power generator. If that well fails and it needs a pump, and it's out a day or two because you can't find a pump. How long, you know, is your supply going to last and storage? So it was that number that you're trying to plan to for future development, right? You want to feel like if you got good capacity in your system, how much more development can we have and still be okay in the worst case scenario? And really, in that worst case scenario, it was like, we would be near capacity if all the infill development that we have projected in town limits was built out. So it's not a horrible place to be in. It's just as soon as we start thinking about annexation, and it's like, oh, wow. Then we need another well and another tower.
So we're looking into all the grants that are out there. Holloway, because sewer lines are gone in there due to health, that we're hoping that we can fall in on that with the water for the same reasoning. Because a lot of the wells down there are point wells. They're not that deep.
Will people have to do it?
Similar to what? If we get the grants to be a health thing, it'll be the same as what the sewer is. You will connect.
Do you know, did the county ever talk about, did they survey the residents if they wanted sewer?
That this isn't an option. They went in on the health. So it's, they don't
should
have
we
an
do
option.
That? Should we survey
I
residents?
Have one. There's something about how many people have.
We can send to the homeowners down there. The property.
I think it was like 9 or 10.
I mean, it came up at that meeting and there was a lot there. So they were like, you putting water in?
The marina still has to work well.
So I'm just giving this board an up to date on what's going on with the water situation.
Thank you.
And what's coming and what we're working on. And
we're going to be the next New York City of the Eastern Shore.
We're not. No. It's just, we just have a lot to think about with, you know, the pain properties. People are knocking on the door. So that's potential development. Scott Garden. There's a lot. The Manor residents are now over there. And I've always been talking for years.
I moved in 16 years ago, and I remember reading a little blurb about Charlestown. It said a sleepy village on the yeah. Chesapeake, and the people want to keep it that way. And I said, all righty.
And that's actually in the book that's down at the base that talks about the town. But it basically says, get out. Don't come here. I'm like, oh my God. But a lot of, when I moved here, there was only 850 residents, and now we're up to 1700. So in that 27 years, we have doubled that, and now we still have two developments that are out there.
Last 10 years, we've been approving 30 to 35 homes yeah. here. I mean, after a while. And the other thing that's changed is how many went up. Also, when I got here, it was only, I think, 600 homes or something. But only half the people lived here year-round.
Yes.
That's the other thing that's changed.
Yes. More people are moving into the summer cottages are becoming year-round.
Yeah.
But that's just things to think about while we're doing this, that we have to look at the water, and our circuit rider and Brian are looking for grants because we're getting close.
Nationally on zoning. They want to do away with local planning and zoning boards. This is a national movement to make it a state zoning, because the complaint is that little towns, especially with their own planning and zonings, are there for the existing residents, and they restrict multifamily housing, and they restrict high density. But I don't know that it's going to work, but I mean, it is one of the new things. I think everybody wants to be able to put in multifamily housing. And even when you don't have it, fortunately, we have it in R3 on both streets in R3 that aren't in the historic district. But,
right.
I don't know how that would work, even, I mean, unless the state adopted it, and then we would have to, but I think there's enough of us little towns that would come back and
that. But I mean, you could see you have a place that has R1 zoning, 20,000 square feet, and the overlay comes down and says, basically what you're doing with R1 zoning is you're prohibiting affordable housing. Right? And that's the truth. The lot sizes of such, and the length of all the runs for plumbing and electric, and make push the price of the construction. But that it's starting because, I guess the realtors aren't selling enough homes.
Well, there's the realtors, and this is something that Ursula, who's not here, would appreciate, that all these people that bought all these places to be Airbnbs are not making the money, and now they're going to flood the market. So the housing market's going to do this for a little while.
Well,
the market does that. But.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you look at it and you say, okay, I get it. They can make as much money in 3 weekends as they can renting it to somebody.
Yeah.
But not everybody wants to rent it in every month of the year.
Right.
You know, and.
Now, I know one of them that's in town, right outside of town. He markets it to traveling nurses that they rent for 6 months at a time. So it's not like.
Yeah,
he's got into a niche where short-term rental, but it's not.
Could do CPR.
He ran it. I don't know how he marketed it, but he's getting traveling nurses that are running his place. Okay,
I'm done.
Motion to adjourn.
I'll second.